Congregation, our text words for this morning are found in Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul has penned these words that we have read together to a church that was harassed by heresy. A group called the Judaizers had made inroads. They had infiltrated this group of churches in the Galatia region. What this group called the Judaizers taught was that in addition to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ, in addition to the true gospel that the churches knew, that Christians must be circumcised. Christians must be obedient to the ceremonial law. Now, this may seem harmless to us several thousand years later. What is the big deal? What is the big issue at stake? But Paul understood. He understood that the essence of the gospel was at stake. He understood that the very heartbeat of the gospel was in jeopardy. Does true religion consist of the cross and faith and repentance in Christ alone? Or are these additional works, circumcision, ceremonial obedience, necessary to qualify people as Christians? And so Paul, seeing the importance of this teaching of the Judaizers, and seeing its danger, Paul himself mightily wars against that heresy in the book of Galatians, dealing with such important doctrines as justification by faith alone, Christian liberty, and many other doctrines. But the essence is what he returns to at the very end, the final words of the letter. He wants to leave the Galatian churches with a strong message that if they follow this teaching of the Judaizers, the cross, they are doing damage to the cross. And Paul himself takes a stand, exclusively boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so for a final time, Paul sounds the trumpet of what true religion is by writing, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this passage comes to us also. Comes to us in Grand Rapids here with equal power. What is the essence of our religion? Do we resort back to good works somehow, to law keeping? Or is it chiefly children? Is it chiefly adults? Is it chiefly and solely the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? So with God's help, we will look at true Christians making their exclusive boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. First, we will look at the object of all boasting, the cross. Second, we will look at the subjects who make their boast in the cross, true Christians, Paul giving himself as an example. And third, we will look at the effects that this boasting in the cross of Christ has upon the Christian life, a life of crucifying. Paul has written in another place, dear congregation, in 1 Corinthians 1, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And we know that this comes from Jeremiah chapter 9, where Jehovah says these words, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Even from the prophetic, from the prophet Jeremiah into Paul, the glory, true boasting was in the Lord and in the Lord alone. And Paul knew these truths. He experienced these truths. He, walking on the road to Damascus, saw the Lord in His glory, fell down on His face before Him, was blinded, was stricken with blindness. "Who art Thou, Lord?" he asked. Having seen something of the glory of Christ exalted, he would make his boast, his lifelong boast, his lifelong glory in Christ and in Christ alone. But what does Paul mean here as we read the words "in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ"? The central part of the verse, boasting, of course, you know, is only legitimate if that which you boast in is worthy to be boasted in. That which we boast in must be worthy of the boast, of the glory. And so here we have the center, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is meant by the cross? Is it just the wooden crucifix on which Christ hung? Is it just that piece of wood that was stuck in the ground? No. Is it just the entire act of crucifixion? There Christ is hanging on Calvary. No, it's more. This word, these words in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ encompass the entire work of Jesus Christ. There on Calvary, yes. There as a substitute for His people, yes. But also what it means. This is a very comprehensive, a very broad term. All Christ, all of His work, and all of how we understand it, how the Scripture would have us to understand it. And so it means more than just Christ as He hung there for those several hours. It means that there was the place where God's curse was unleashed upon His Son. There was the place where God's wrath came down and all of its judgment falling upon His Son. So the cross of Christ, the comprehensive understanding of Christ there, suffering as the substitute, and also what it means, the curse, the deliverance, the redemption, and many other theological words loaded with meaning, revolving around the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the comprehensive aspect of Christ's work is here in view. I will boast in nothing else but the entire work of Christ accomplished at Calvary, applied in my heart. And so the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is central. It is central. It is central in this verse, placed right in the middle. It is central also in all of history, isn't it? All of the Old Testament and the progress of redemption pointed forward to the coming Messiah, to His cross. Think of Genesis 22. There was the ram laid upon the altar, looking forward, pointing Abraham forward to see God's provision of a substitute. The goats on the Day of Atonement. Two goats, one slain, one sent off into the wilderness. Look forward, pointed the Israelites forward year by year to the coming one who would be both goats, as it were, in one, bearing the sin, being killed for His people, and bearing their guilt away. The suffering servant of Isaiah. Think of Isaiah 53. Looking forward to the one on whom iniquities would be laid. The cross, dear congregation, was central in all of history, is central in all of history. Paul himself knew this. Paul himself knew the centrality of the cross. If we were to look early in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." Paul well knew the centrality, the importance of the cross of Jesus Christ. I wonder if we today also know the importance, know the centrality, know the comprehensive have a comprehensive understanding of the cross. Are we daily students, children, trying to learn everything that the cross means? But also praying that the work of the cross would be brought home to our hearts. Are we seeking to have our horizons broadened of understanding what happened at the cross? And of praying that that work, that mighty work, seen there in the accomplishment of redemption, would be applied to our hearts. Are we, each one of us, focused on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? And so that is the object in which boasting is placed. But what does it mean to boast? What does this word, glory, or boast mean? But God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast. Well, boasting is used primarily in Paul, in the language of the Apostle Paul. And it means that this is something, to boast or glory is to exalt something that we deem worthy of praise. It's to exalt it, to lift it up, something that we know is worthy of praise. To lift it up, to boast or to glory in it. And so that when we boast in this thing, children, perhaps it's a nice bike that you just have received as a present. It's a really nice bike. And so you lift it up, as it were, in your own thinking. This is the nicest bike compared to all other bikes. It's new, it's fast, it looks good, and so it's worthy, you think, of making mention of to your friends, or to your neighborhood friends also. You count it worthy of being spoken about, worthy of showing off. Well, in much the same way, but in a much grander scale, Paul says that the cross is worthy of being lifted up, and it is worthy of me extolling the cross. He is exalting, he is boasting in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting that oftentimes in Paul's writings where this word occurs, it's in the context where he's speaking about the way of salvation. And it's often set at odds with false ways of salvation. For example, in Romans 2, the same word is used in verse 23. There people were basing their salvation upon works according to the law. They were making their boast in the law and in works according to the law. Paul, of course, separates himself from them and repudiates them. Or Greeks. The Greeks, we read in early in the Corinthians correspondence, the Greeks boasted in wisdom, that they were wiser than the other people. The Judaizers, we read in our text, they gloried in your flesh. They lifted up the flesh as the way of salvation, in addition to the cross, in addition to faith and repentance. But Paul here says, all of these other people will glory in something in addition to the cross. But I, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's exclusive glory, his exclusive boast, was in the cross, was in the work of Christ on the cross. We read, of course, in those well-known verses in Ephesians 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is not of works, it is only by faith. It is only of grace. In the way of salvation, the Christian's boast is in the cross of Christ alone. Dear friends, I do not know who you are, but God does. God knows where we are placing our boast at this point, at this moment, as the word comes to you and to me. Are we boasting for salvation in something other than God provided cross of Christ? Are we boasting in something that we can do, that we think we merit, that we think we deserve for salvation? Or is our boast with Paul? There is salvation. Exclusively, only in the cross of Jesus Christ and His work, and His full work of redemption upon the cross. So God's Word searches our hearts, searches every one of us. Where is our boast? What do we esteem worthy in the way of salvation? Is it our own, something of our own making? Or is it a God-provided Redeemer and His cross? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But also, who? Who glories in this cross? We have seen what the cross is, what is gloried in being the cross. But who? Who glories in the cross? Well, it is the true Christian. The true Christian finds his glory not in himself. Children, think with me of Paul. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, these words. When he recounts his history, his life up until that point, and rejoice that his glory in Christ Jesus. And I have no confidence in the flesh. I'm circumcised the eighth day, the Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, zealous persecutor, blameless in the law. He had all of these qualifications, all of these wonderful events, wonderful things in his life. But he counted these as dung, as rubbish, compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Paul, if anyone could boast, if anyone could glory, it wouldn't be these Judaizers, it would be Paul himself. He was religiously zealous. He had a good family. But his words in our text are, God forbid that I should glory save, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had been changed. He had been changed from darkness to light. And he had come to faith, worked by the Spirit in Christ. And so his boast as a believer was in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day of his life, he casted himself upon the cross. The message he brought was a cross-centered message. The message he brings is a cross-centered message. Would we make our boast in the cross? Would we be included? Would we be able to echo Paul's words back? And we must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of all of the false boasting we've made up until this point, and boasting in His work, in His person, all the days of our life. It is at the cross where a sinner is brought to cherish the cross. And that sinner is made a boaster in the cross. But maybe you ask, isn't this prideful? Boasting has much pride associated with it. Dear friends, absolutely not. This is the most humble boasting there is, because when one boasts in the cross, one acknowledges that nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. It is not an exalted boasting where people are esteemed above others. It is a humble boasting that it is all of grace, it is all of Christ and Him crucified. The Judaizers saw the cross. We read it together in verse 12. They saw the cross as only a vehicle of persecution, lest they be persecuted, suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They saw the cross only bringing trouble, and so they resorted to circumcision and to obedience, not believing in the cross, not counting the cross worthy to be lived for, to be persecuted for. No, they took the easy road, circumcising, developing a following. But Paul, not Paul. Paul will glory as a true believer, a true child of God, only in the cross. Come persecution, I will glory in the persecutions because they persecuted Christ. Come what may, difficulties, come Judaizers, afflictions, contesting and contradicting the cross, I will glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the cross was challenged, Paul sided with the cross. When the cross was contradicted, opposed, Paul sided with the cross. God forbid. He uses the strongest language of resolve here. Literally, this can be translated, may it never be for me to glory. Put it furthest away from me. May it never be. God forbid it, that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could say, even as Martin Luther said about the Bible, hereupon I stand and rest. I have nothing more to say. God have mercy upon me. Hereupon I stand. I stand at the cross. I make my boast in the cross, because that cross has made everything to me as a child of God. Dear friends, are you with Paul, with many saints through the ages, a believer who boasts in the cross? Do you have a heart that glories, that boasts in the cross? Or is it divided? Does it have multiple loves? A little of the cross and a little of work. A little devotion to the cross and a little devotion to entertainment. Paul knew that his exclusive, his only, chief boast must be in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about our hands? Do we boast in the cross? Esteem the cross? Lift up the cross? Glory in the cross by what we do? What about our feet, the places we go? Do the places we go, the things we do, the things that we are busy with, show that we glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we must be believers to truly boast, to truly glory in the cross. But even today, as the cross is preached as that which draws people to boast in it, people can see, can turn to become boasters in the cross and in the cross alone. Boasting in the cross as true believers demands that we answer all of the critics who would assail the cross, who would confront the cross, who would contrast the cross. Paul is answering, of course, the Judaizers, those who would detract from the cross. Christians, believers, when the cross is scorned, when the cross is minimized, must be willing to stand up God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Be bold for the sake of the cross. Because isn't in our day the cross looked upon with scorn, derision? Where are the Christians who with Paul can say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? But not only must Christians answer those that will criticize the cross, we must also see that the cross and the cross alone is the exclusive way of salvation. Those people would detract from it, but others would also add to it, seeking works, seeking ways and whims of human making. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. There's only one way of salvation, through the Lord and through His cross, and I will glory, I will boast only in the cross of Jesus Christ. But that boast in the cross by the believer has effects. What is the result of making such a boast in the cross? It is, as Paul finishes the verse, by whom or by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul knew that this boasting in the cross would have a twofold effect. The world is crucified unto me. The world loses all of its drawing power. The world, of course, is to be understood here as the way of life apart from Christ, as sin, Satan, the dominion of darkness. It once had much to offer Paul. He persecuted. He was a leader in the world. But now, knowing the cross, becoming a believer by grace in the cross, the effect is that that drawing power is cut off, crucified. The world is crucified unto me. And I unto the world. Not only does the world lose its drawing power before me, the world would rather cut me off too, because I'm different. I glory in the cross. They scorn the cross. They want nothing to do with me. What a word he uses here. Crucified. The world is crucified unto me. I am crucified unto the world, hung up, shamed, because of the cross, because of the boast he makes in the cross. These are the effects. Crucifixion. The world loses its drawing power. Children, would we boast in the cross? And at the same time, would we desire to do that sin with the world? Teenagers, would we desire to be accepted by the world? No, when we boast in the cross, the world is shunned and scorned, is hung up in front of the Christian, unworthy even to look upon. But also the Christian is hung up, as it were, before the world. What an effect. How little crucifixion must we admit is there, dear child of God, in our own heart. So often the drawing power of the world draws us, wins us, woos us. So we must flee to the cross, have renewed hatred for the world and the things of sin that the world offers. By which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This is a conflict, a real conflict in the life of the Christian. Here is combat. Here is utter dangerous combat. Living as a Christian, boasting in the cross, in a world in which the cross is scorned. But dear friends, do not fear. Dear Christians, do not fear. Because the conflict, yes, that very crucifixion of the world unto you and you unto the world, shows that there is victory. There is victory through the cross of Christ, in whom you are making your boast. You are filled with the Spirit that the cross has merited for you. The Word attends you along your way. So, dear friend, dear Christian, make your boast boldly in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the world will lose its flavor, lose its drawing power, and that you will be shunned and scorned by the world. There's conflict, but it's worth it, because in the cross there's boasting, there's all goodness, there's salvation. Salvation from sin. There is also glory that awaits. And so, though the life of the cross be a life of crucifixion, a life of confrontation between the world and the person who boasts in the cross, it will also be a life of conquest. It is through the cross. Initially, Christ's cross gives victory. But also, in the end, when Christians are found faithful, making their boast in the cross, ultimate victory will come. God forbid that I should glory. Glory. On this earth, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then glory will await for those who so glory in this earth, on this earth, in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Judaizers may glory in circumcision and ceremonial obedience, that they may glory in your flesh, as we read in verse 13, but Paul glories, boasts, not in anything of man, but only in the cross, believing in the cross and knowing the effects of the cross upon his life. Dear person, do you boast believingly, humbly, in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see something of the conflict? Do you experience something of the heart-rending conflict of crucifixion in your heart? A conflict that carries on intensely here. A conflict that is difficult, but a conflict that when people are found boasting only in the cross, resorting only to the cross and to Christ, a conflict that will prepare them to glory in the cross forever and ever, glorying in the Lamb. Are there people here today who can echo the words of Paul? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we would confess before Thee that Thy cross is eminently, preeminently worthy of being boasted in, because there sin and Satan and all the domain of darkness is conquered. And therein is the basis of justification for Thy people and the power of sanctification also for every Christian. Lord, we pray Thee that Thou wilt use the preaching this morning to win sinners here to the cross for the first time, maybe, and that they would see how worthy the cross is to be boasted in, that they would put their boast not in anything of their hands or anything they have done, but in the cross, Jesus Christ alone. Do also, Lord, encourage those who have been boasting in the Lord and in Thy cross for many years, though they be weak, though they be frail, do bring them through, even so that they can glory in the cross and in Christ even to all eternity. Lord, bless us. Bless Thy word unto our hearts. Forgive all that was spoken amiss. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.